This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. It's party time at the Hawaii State Capitol. This morning, ceremonies are underway to mark the 50th anniversary of the historic building. Artifacts from a time capsule that was sealed up decades ago are on display. We were there back in December when that capsule was opened by State Archives Director Adam Jensen. No one knew what kind of shape the items would be in, but with the exception of the spools of microfilm, the documents and the photos mostly survive intact. The challenge now, what to say for the next 50 years. Take a listen as we crack open that capsule.
Here we go. That's one. We know we're not going to be able to read it in 10 years. I mean, anybody buy a laptop in the last 2 years? Does it even have an optical drive? So what do we do? Do we put one in there knowing that they're not going to be able to read it, yet committing as an archival institution, we'll keep a DVD drive around just for kicks so they can have the fun of pushing the little button and have the coffee holder pull out of the PC and so they can play it. So it's a much greater challenge for us because technology changes so very rapidly now that what we use today will be obsolete in 10 years. So how do we do something that'll last 50 years? And so that's why we're trying to figure out how do we solicit input from the public, from the next generation. What is important today? Because that's really what this is. It's 2 cubic feet of, this is what is relevant to us. This is culture today. This is important. These are societal issues that are really relevant today that in 50 years you might think it's a bygone era. So it may not be readable, but it's important.
Now, the birthday of our state capitol is being marked with a reception in the governor's office starting at 12:30 today, where the artifacts will be on display. You know, every day, visitors from all over come to admire the one-of-a-kind structure. They're impressed that the architecture reflects the islands.
I think that this is a very cool capitol building. I think it's interesting the way that the pillars go up representing the volcanoes. That's amazing to me. It's just a really cool design. And I like any open air space, so the fact that the Capitol building has no roof, has no dome, that's very, very cool to me.
That was Dawn from Los Angeles, California. You know, on Saturday, the Historic Hawaii Foundation hosts a symposium to talk about the Capitol's past and future. We sat down with Don Hibbard, the former head of the State Historic Preservation Office. He calls himself a heritage specialist. We had a conversation as we sat at the rotunda of the Capitol building. Lawmakers actually began talking about a new building back in 1939, and then they started acquiring land around what today is known as our Capitol District. At the time, our territorial government was operating out of Iolani Palace.
I've seen pictures at Iolani Palace when it was in use, and there were all kinds of structures that they had built on the lanais of the palace, and it was just horrible, actually.
Yes, they had enclosed many of the lanai with essentially plywood boxes, which people worked out of. And then also during World War II, the military had built several temporary structures on the grounds, and the legislature started using those as well.
So that had to change.
Yes, that was the idea. And so in 1941, the first priority the Territorial Planning Board said was to buy this land between Miller Street and Richards Street, where part of the Capitol now stands, and that's where they're going to put the Capitol building. And so they were going to ask the legislature for money and get things rolling, but then World War II broke out. And with that, all thoughts of the Capitol stopped. And it's not till after the war, in 1949, the legislature says, yes, let's get rolling, and they appropriated $100,000 for architects to draw up plans for a new Capitol building.
And you had mentioned that there were all kinds of plans.
Yes, over the next 10 years or so, there was just incredible suggestions being made. The architects that were hired were Merrill Sims and Rorick and Vladimir Osipoff and Mr. Heen, and they put together a proposal for a 9-story high-rise, and that would be for the governor's office and for government spaces, and then there's two low-rise buildings on the property, one for the Senate and one for the House. That did not meet good. At that time, when they went into the legislature, says, here it is, cost is going to be $5.5 million, because then it was going to be the entire block where the state capitol is now. And so land acquisition and construction, the legislature, too much money, and they don't make a decision. So in 1955, Governor King appoints a committee to review what are we going to do, and the committee recommended, yes, this spot between Hotel and Barataria and Richards and Punchbowl should be the place for the Capitol, but we don't like the high-rise building. It's not appropriate. And so they tell the architects to go back and redesign it.
Go back to the drawing board.
Yes, exactly. So in 1955, again, nothing happens. And the architects go back and they design buildings in a what's called a Hawaiian style, with the Dickey roofs, with the double pitch hip roof. And so a sprawling design with reflecting pools and a lot of planting on the lot. The governor will be in one building. The House and Senate will be in other buildings. Be a big meeting room in the center. So they present this.
That was take two.
Yes. But in 1957, it wasn't even discussed. Democrats control the legislature at that time, and they start asking, no, this is the wrong spot for the Capitol. And we think it should be somewhere else. And they were suggesting down where Fort Armstrong, at the end of Punchbowl and South Streets, that land is all opening up. Fort Armstrong is returned to the state. And so they wanted to put it down there, essentially where from the Honolulu Harbor all the way over to Kewalo Basin. The legislature started pushing for the area down at the end of Punchbowl and South Street. But then Harold Castle muddles the water more and says, I'll give you 100 acres on the windward side where Hawaii Loa College, Hawaii Pacific University now stand. And he was willing to give that area free to the state, the territory, to build the capital there. And so that more talking.
Must have had ulterior motives.
Maybe. It would have been something different. He was saying, yeah, once the new Poly Highway is done, 20 minutes to get over. And so, and you can still keep your government offices downtown and da-da-da. And, of course, at this time, too, the downtown merchants are starting to get worried. No, we want government here. And so that's when the Downtown Improvement Association is formed. And so they come out strongly in favor of the present site of the Capitol. And then all sorts of new ideas start popping up. Maui suggests they're located in the middle of the island chain. It should be on Maui. We'll build a new city for a new capital city. They're talking about down where the Symphony Concert Hall is. That land was still open. Let's build the state capitol there. Someone else was saying extend Bishop Street, where Poly Highway is now. Run a big mall up that way. So there's many different suggestions that are coming out. Big uproar. And of course, it gets more complicated. In 1959, President Eisenhower appoints Governor Quinn, Governor King's place. And he has a new planning director. And he eventually comes out, he writes a plan supporting the Fort Armstrong area. And so that goes to the legislature to have that approved. And there's big arguments in the legislature. And then in the closing days of the legislature, in conference, all of a sudden a bill is slipped in saying this area between Barataria and Hotel will be the location of the state capitol. And that passes.
So once the lawmakers determined where they were going to site the capitol, then how was it going to look? Because you said they didn't want the high-rise.
Exactly. So what happened was Governor Quinn appointed a citizens committee of around 15 people headed by Bob Metcalf and Representative Koga. And the committee decided not to have a competition because it would take too long and be too expensive. And instead they decided, we'll just put an ad in the newspaper. Any architects interested in designing the Capitol, let us know. And they also stipulated that any mainland firms must be associated with a local firm. and because local architects were pushing, no, you should have a local architect. They had around 20 people, 25 people respond, a lot of very big name people, Richard Neutra from California, Minoru Yamasaki, who will do, he was already in town doing Queen Emma Gardens. I.M. Pei was already here starting to do the East-West Center. Pietro Bellucci, the Dean of Architecture at MIT. So there's many people applying. From New York, Harrison and Abramovitz, who had done Carnegie Center and also the United Nations building.
So impressive talent.
Yes, yes. There were major talent. And, of course, John Carl Warnke. And they were all teaming up with different local architects. Warnke went with the firm of Belt, Lamont, and Lowe, which is interesting because actually Lamont, Freeth, and Haynes were architects. Belt is an engineer. He worked for many years in the Public Works Department and then started Belt Collins. And then Lowe is a structural engineer. They teamed up with John Carl Warnke of San Francisco, and eventually they're picked as the winner. They're interviewed, takes 2 months to interview everybody, and they said they liked Warnke's proposal because, number one, the local firms, many local firms are very small, so there's like five or six going together with a mainland firm. But Belt, Lamont, and Lowe had already been working together before, so they liked that. Lamont was already sitting on the city planning commission, so he was familiar very much with the whole civic center idea. They liked that Warnke at that time was designing the U.S. Embassy in Thailand, which had water surrounding it. And they liked that idea very much. So all these things came together, and they decided that, yes, this is a team that is capable and will get the job done.
So do you have a favorite architectural feature in this building?
Well, I think what's really makes this building different than just about any other capital in the country is that it's so open. And people point out to that right away, openness of the building, and that it's not only reflecting, responding to our climate, but also to our society, that Hawaii was a very open society.
We are sitting in the rotunda enjoying these lovely trade winds this morning.
Right.
We have a gorgeous day, the sun shining, there are clouds, you know, the palm trees are swaying. It's really a lovely spot.
Yes, yes, you have your Mauka Makai view. It's unfortunate now the federal building has blocked part of the Makai view, but other than that, it's still very much there. And also, not just the openness, but also the galleries. All the offices are on the second, third, and fourth floors, but there's a large lanai. It's all open. The only way representatives and senators can get down to the chambers is interacting though in public spaces where the public can see them and talk with them.
As a journalist, that's one of my favorite spots, is that we would hang on the railing and we would watch to see where the power brokers were going. You know, sometimes during reorganization, we would watch them all kind of sneak into somebody's office and we knew something was up. Or if it was a particular deadline, we would just watch to see, oh, there's the governor. He's coming down the lobby for his bill. But so as journalists, we love the openness because we could see what was happening.
Yes, and that was something that was stressed by the advisory committee to Warnke, that this must be open. It must be accessible to the public. So even now, you have the chambers on both sides, but you just walk, and you can just walk into the doors of the chambers and listen to the legislative sessions. And so that was all part of it. That's part of the democratic spirit, and they wanted that very strongly. The columns on the outside rising up from the ocean are flare out at the top like palm trees. And so all of that, it captures the spirit of Hawaii in the building itself. You don't need applied ornament to do that. You know, you don't want some fancy, trendy building because it'll become dated. You want a building that will endure. And I think Warnke did that. He even said, and I said, you want a building that in the year 2000 you'll still be proud of. And I think Warnke has succeeded in doing that with this design.
Here it is, 2019.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Don Hibbert, who will be one of several people talking about the state capitol history at a symposium tomorrow marking the 50th anniversary of the iconic structure.